Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
So, Archie Muta, thank you so much for joining us today. Right now, the number two film on HBO Max. The only thing keeping you from number one was that little pesky under-budget film, Dune 2. Right. Keeping you from hitting that number one spot. But, you know, first off, before we even get into the behind-the-scenes stuff and all that, how does it feel to have literally, like, the number two movie on one of the most popular streaming platforms in the planet?
I'm proud of it. I'm excited about it. I think it's thrilling. I mean, to be right behind Dune, like the biggest movie on earth, is like, and we're like the only documentary in the top 10, period. Everything else is like feature, big budget film with actors and stuff. So I'm really proud. Archie, I know you do huge projects and stuff like that. You've probably done accomplished that and many more, much more before. But to me, I'm really happy about it. I can't ask for much more than that.
I'm like, when are we going to be number one? Come on. Yeah.
News. After this podcast.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. No, of course. It's super cool. And very proud of it and proud of the project. And, you know, you do a lot of projects and there's a lot of love, but there's even more hate, you know, that comes out and people just love to bash things. That's the way our society is. And I got to tell you, I scour through social media. I've maybe seen maybe one or two people negative, but it's like so overwhelmingly positive. It's crazy, which is great. It's encouraging that obviously, you know, we made a great film here with, you know, Muta Ali did a masterful job and we're just so, you know, proud of kind of everything, how it came together. And it was a long process to get here. This project took a long time, but you know, we're really pleased with how it's been received. That's for sure.
I saw that they greenlit in 21, right? So it's been a few years. So I guess, Archie, did you have it and you found Muta, or Muta, was this your idea and you found Archie? How did the whole thing come?
Archie, I got a call from Scott Veltri, and I think the first meeting I had with Scott, it was Scott and Archie. And that was, yeah. I feel like, what was it? Was it early 2021 or?
I don't remember. Well, going way back, we did a project called McMillions that people enjoyed. And so Scott Veltri called me out of the blue and he's like, he's a producer, very talented producer. And he's like, hey, I saw McMillions. I loved it. I have a crazy story about MoviePass. You remember that? Of course. I never subscribed to it, but I remember it. I was like, how the heck is this possible? Like, I remember a friend was like, sign up. And I was like, I'm not, this seems shady. And so I never signed up, but he had all these people on board and we're like, this is crazy. So yeah, we signed up on with him. And then we're like, we have to tell this story about these two Black founders and we need an amazing African-American director. Cause we wanted that story told as honestly and authentically as possible. And so we went through a Rolodex of potential directors and we met with a few and Muta Ali was like, we were like, this is the guy. We fell in love with like sort of his, not to make him blush or anything, but the thing that's great about Muta Ali is he's really receptive to hearing things and still has his own thoughts and sticks to them, but is not some directors that are like, I'm only doing it this way and that's it. And that's fine. But we really believe in collaboration and thinking what is to working together, what can we create? And he did that. And cause again, not to jump on his toes, but Muta Ali has done a lot of projects masterfully, but he had never dipped into comedy before. And he had voiced that to us. He said, hey guys, there's a lot of comedy in this. I've never done that. I'm like, that's okay. We do comedy. We could walk you through that. And by the end of it, he was like, you know, basically a comedy down pat. So
no, I think I really enjoyed working with you, Archie and David, and it's been a great process. I feel like I always lean toward like intense and serious stuff. And to kind of have that sort of mix between that with the comedy, the serious and the comedy, I think we're right on the fence there. This film does the trick where it's serious, but it's also fun to watch. And so I'm excited. I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of it.
I want to say one thing. I had a friend who was a huge MoviePass advocate too, and it's the guy on the screen here. And I remember, so when we first started getting the podcast rolling, we were going to see movies all the time. We were reviewing basically anything that came out just so we could get content out there. And I remember us at the movies one day doing like an event, you know, for the movie theater so we could get free tickets and bringing people in. And Brian's like, yeah, there's this thing called Movie Pass and it's $10. And you can go see as many films as you want to. And I'm like, what? Like, how does that even work? So I thought it was some big scam. I never even signed up for it. But I'm going to tell you what. The dudes that were going to see like 15 movies a week, he's one of them. I promise.
I was not taking
it. If we had known, like you'd Ali would have interviewed you if we knew that. Man. We call all those guys the over. Those were the overeaters.
Yeah,
right. They were called the overeaters.
So, you know, with that being said, with Saba, so I got introduced to it from our good friend Morgan. You guys in the documentary pinpointed how much of like the voice of the audience, like the referral system worked out. You know, it was really viral at that time where it was just people just posting and just talking to each other. Our friend Morgan was at the bar. I have this movie pass thing. You should get it. It's $10. You go see whatever you want, this, that, and the other. But we never asked ourselves, you know, how is this possible? And on top of that, like, who is backing this? And I really love the fact that you show the full story, because for me, for everything, I tell people all the time, it's not a race, it's a marathon. And highlighting, you know, the two wonderful creators that did this and the struggle that they went through. But then on top of that, showing that they were showing caution to the wind. And is that, you know, kind of starting with you, Archie, and then going to Muta over here, you know, is that what really, you know, drove you in? Because a lot of us didn't know why it ended. I mean, a lot of us kind of figured maybe it ended because of the pandemic. And that's probably why. It was just one of those things to where we didn't know how this was legal, let alone possible. But we also, I would say 95% of us did not know the whole backstory on how Stacy and Hammett were just pretty much ran out of their own company that they've been building for years on end.
Yeah, well, I'll let, you know, at least speak to that. But for sure, when I found out that the original owners were both Black guys, I actually reached out to a lot of my Black friends. I was like, did you know that MoviePass was created by Black founders? Are like, no. And then when Muta Ali actually, we interviewed him, he's like, I was like, this is mind blowing. And that really was where it went. It was like, it was, yeah. I mean, Muta Ali, please jump in.
No, yeah. To me, when I read Jason Garacio's article from Business Insider and saw the photo of Stacy and Hammett, I was like, holy cow. I did not know they were Black. I had heard of MoviePass in 2018, but by the time someone was telling me about it, they couldn't tell me what it cost or how many movies I could see. And I was like, this sounds really, really like shaky. So I didn't sign up. Because
the shenanigans was already happening? Right. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. It was going downhill. And when I saw that it was created by two Black founders, it struck me on many levels, because it's not often that you see two Black founders operating on that $100 million level, right? And having a product in the tech space that's caused such a buzz that I heard about it inadvertently. And I come from a little bit of an engineering background. I went to engineering undergrad. I went to Georgia Tech for grad school. I got a patent for something for IBM research and stuff like that. And I know Black people who are in the VC space who go through hell trying to just get like a dollar for their things. And to me, they're sort of heroes. So to see but no one on Stacey and Hame's level. So to see them, I was like, oh, wow. Like, I would love to play a role where I could help tell a story and shed light on their journey. And then on top of that, for the journey to be full of crazy characters, I know people are really loving to hate certain characters in the film, and full of a lot of millions of dollars spent at Coachella and all sorts of crazy decisions. I'm like, okay, yeah, I really want to jump on board and join with Archie and everybody and tell this story, you know?
Yeah, go ahead, Archie, go ahead.
Sorry, no, just to jump in on that, and this is like next level, but what Muta Ali did such a great job. Forget about the documentary, which is we're all proud of. To market the film, Muta Ali was like the strongest, you know, he was like, we have to do this. We didn't want to give away, because they were like, oh, we're going to show them in the poster, the two owners are like, no, we wanted that reveal.
Right.
And it's so many people have responded to that with like anger and like, you know, I think that to me speaks to so much. Again, it's hard to do that. It's hard to convince a buyer like HBO because they want to market like, okay, this is so obvious. Let's get this out there. It's like, no, let's pull the rug from out from beneath the viewer and be like, so like 15, 20 minutes in, which again, you know, he did a great job in just enough time where you're like, whoop, oh no, these weren't the owners. These were the original owners. That to me and the marketing and everything up to this has been, I think is a reason why people are really responding in a way that's like, they want to like tear down the house. I mean, they're like, they're loving the doc, but they're like, man, those guys got, you know, totally taken for a ride and they're pissed off.
How did that happen? In terms of, was that your vision, Mute Ali, in terms of like the, what Archie's talking about, how like you see like the happy story and then it's like, but wait, there's more, right? Like how did that, cause that the way that that was, you know, the way that you guys either edited or shot it or whatever, the way it was written on the storyboard, that shit was genius. And I want to hear more about that.
Archie, I thought that was your idea. Like, I've been telling you. It's been real collaborative. No. So like,
it was collaborative. It was definitely, we all thought about it, but when the timing was right, you know, but for sure, Mute Ali, the hard part is again, because we tested so many things out. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but.
That's we tested it the other way. We tested it starting with Stacey and Ame. And the tricky part is that some people knew that they were the founders. Okay. And some people didn't know anything about MoviePass. So it was like, how do you draw the balance between those two audiences that come from two different directions? And also, how do you honor the fact you're telling a story about two Black founders? How can you downplay them without being disrespectful? How can you keep them in the story without people knowing that they were in the right and that they know what they're talking about because they speak so eloquently, like they know what they're talking about. And everyone we interviewed from the staff spoke highly of Stacey and Jaime. Yep. So once we decided to do that, we had to rely on editing and having a sensitivity toward whether or not we're representing Stacey and Jaime in a good light without overplaying our tipping our hand and letting people know, oh no, these guys must be the founders the way that they're talking. So I think we worked a lot on that. I think it took us a year to get the balance on it or something like that.
And then it was screening it with, you know, Stacey and Jaime. And we were like, you know, and they were like, we were like on pins and needles because exactly what they're saying is like, we don't want to, these guys are, first of all, I'm not trying to blow smoke up their ass, but they're two of the nicest, smartest men I've ever met in my life.
Very impressive.
I mean, they're incredibly generous. The fact that they, and that makes it even, you're even angrier that they got, you know, screwed. Yep. And when they were like, this is, they loved it. They were like, this is so powerful. That we were like over the moon. Those were the two guys that were like, the fact that they were like, this is great, guys, that really gave Mute Ali and the rest of us like, okay, that was the right decision, you know?
Yeah.
Now, bring home Bob Marley, One Love, now on 4K disc and digital. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. Film critics are calling One Love the perfect movie at the perfect time and go over 50 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage and deleted scenes. Available at participating retailers by Bob Marley, One Love, on 4K disc and digital today. Rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures.
Now
let me ask.
Let me say, hold on, Brian. Let me say one more thing. I think what's even more impressive, Stacey gets a little emotional there at the end, but Hammett, like, just two just very impressive, smart dudes that, you know what I mean? Like, they just they walked into the lion's den because they got to talk about their biggest failure. You know what I mean? They walk into the lion's den in front of the camera and like they tell the story so eloquently and still so just keep such a positive spin on it, man. Like it's a fucking sad story, but you walk away almost feeling, you know, like they describe it where it's like, you know, we learned a lot from this. This has been a great opportunity of our lives, you know, all that. Like you almost walk away like, oh, okay. Like these dudes have found the silver lining on this cloud and they've come out of it better. And that to me was like the big takeaway. It's like, this is one of the biggest fucking scams out there that's running. And these dudes are better off for it. How does that work? Right.
Well, I feel like I know what you're saying, and I agree. They, I think, have had a chance to process it.
Sure.
In a way that, as a director, I part of me wishes they had it. I wish that I had them like snotting and crying and all this stuff like that. But another part of me thinks about Black culture in this way, that if you're showing, I'm not trying to be like just talking about men, but I'm just talking about men at this point. If you're showing Black men in a vulnerable, compromised position, it better be worth it. You better have a real reason to do it other than to have people just look at it as a spectacle. Oh, look how crushed they were. Right. And so I made a deliberate effort to avoid just casually showing them in a compromising position. And luckily, at the point where we did shoot the full interviews, they were, I think, a little bit conscious of how they wanted to represent themselves. These guys are, they're business leaders.
Yep.
And I think they trusted us to tell a story about a failure.
Yeah.
And I mean, what type of trust does that take? Like, you're going to put in front of millions of people the story of me failing, and I'm going to trust you to not make me look stupid like people in all these other documentaries? They trusted us. So when it comes to their person, their position emotionally, it's true. I feel like they have gotten past it and they're better people. I also feel like we were careful to make sure that we didn't try to play them, which I think is sometimes necessary when people are opening up.
Well, I mean, 1,000%. I mean, the realness about this documentary, which, you know, this is a tribute to both of you, Archie, everything that you both have done, and, you know, Cassius X, all that stuff too, Muta. I mean, there is an authenticity to what you both do, to where when I'm watching, whether if it's on an unrealistic idea property or one of your documentaries, I don't see favoritism. I just see realism, which is what people want at the end of the day. Like, just cut it to a straight at the end of the day. And that's what I was talking to a business owner, African-American business owner, over the weekend, who watched it. Cause I mean, that's been the one thing out of my mouth since I watched it over the weekend. Have you watched MoviePass, MovieCrest? Like, this shit is insane. And, you know, he's like, yeah, he was like, it was great. But, you know, as an African-American, like, I'm mad. Like, they got over on these dudes. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's the story behind it. But at the same time too, I think a lot of it is how much work goes into something like this, and how much the two original founders were so much appreciated. And it just takes something, you know, board membership or whatever it may be, to completely mess up a business. And then when they were unfortunately, you know, pushed out, they had a year before they could cash out. And I mean, it's just unreal. Yeah. I mean, it's just like Ahmed said, he was like, you know, I don't want to cash my check until it's in the bank account. And then,
don't count it until it's in my account. You know, one thing is people online are taking it to a certain place when it comes to their judgment of like the people who took over MoviePass. And I get it, but I do feel like we were balanced. There was a lot that we could have put in there too. Yeah. That was even worse, you know? So
sure.
Yeah. Like I think we did our best to be as balanced as possible. You know?
Comedian and actress Nikki Glaser is back in her second hour long HBO special, Nikki Glaser, Someday You'll Die, now streaming on Max.
How did you get Mitch Lowe to be in this movie?
Okay, so you know, next question.
Archie, go ahead. I cut you off. My bad, man. But like,
No. I was going to go. You can, go ahead, Mirali. I was going to, it's all good.
Well, it ends with you kind of. So like, he was promoting a book. This is before he was indicted, right?
Right.
And he had this book. I forget, something like a disruptor. I don't know the name of it, but he was positioning himself in a book as like a great disruptor in whatever, Hollywood movies and stuff. And through the efforts he was making to promote the book, he crossed paths with Jason Gracio, who wrote the MoviePass articles for Business Insider. Jason, I think, reached out to you, Archie, and said, do you want me to try to see if he'll do an interview with y'all because he's promoting his book, something like that?
Yeah.
And what happened next?
It's slightly, so this, it's a long, Remember Clubhouse? It was like an app where you could like talk to people.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
That's like messed up. We have to say, remember it? It was just.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the next doc we got to do. You know, hey. Remember Clubhouse?
Yeah, right.
Let's see. Why did that go south? So I got connected on Clubhouse on like with like, I'm not going to name the other people, but it was like three people, very big Hollywood money people. I have no idea how I got connected with them. And Mitch Lowe was on there too. And I was like, oh shit. And I'm like, hey, Mitch, we're doing a documentary on MoviePass. We'd love to interview you. And he said, oh, I really can't do it. You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. So he turned me down. But then, yes, you're exactly right, Mute Ali. Jason came around again and was like, hey, I could connect you. So I just texted Mitch because I already had his number through Clubhouse. And so I was like, on Clubhouse, I was like, hey, Mitch, do you want to do it? He goes, yeah, I'll do it. I'm promoting my book. So that's kind of those two things together. He wasn't some random person. And so that's how we ended up doing it. And then, yeah.
The best part, though, is how we did it, in my opinion. And I think I made the call, but we all agreed that, we ended up doing it, that I shouldn't be in the room. I feel like, you know, I'm 6'2", I'm damn near 300 pounds. I'm a big dude. Mostly you can tell I'm black, so people can't tell, but I'm African-American, right? And I feel like if I sat in a room across from Mitch and start grilling him about what looks like his actions taking a company away from two black people, he might be a little bit like, he might put on the mask like, oh yeah, I really care about diversity and inclusion. I don't know. I don't know him though. I don't know him though. So this is just my opinion if anybody's trying to like judge me for what I'm saying. To avoid that possibility, I was on board with someone else interviewing him, and Archie's done probably 1,000 interviews in his life. I don't know. And Archie met him in Vegas, and so we were all on Zoom and on a text chat with the questions and everything. And Archie actually did the face to face, so there was a. I think it made Mitch feel more natural. Yes. You know what I'm saying? But the indictment, the charges came a week after, right? He was charged a week after.
A week after?
Oh my God!
Wasn't it?
It was like, let's get this skinny, nerdy white guy.
Disarming is the word, Archie. Disarming.
Well, first of all, disarming. By the way, Mute Ali is like a physical specimen. If I like give him a hug, it's like I'm hugging his waist. The dude's like fucking like 7 inches taller than me. I look like, you know, but he, you know, yeah, it was a great call by Mute Ali because it was just like, and again, back to the Clubhouse thing.
Yeah.
We had already connected a little bit. So it was like, oh, I know this guy. And again, we weren't even probing that much. It wasn't like he kind of wanted to say his piece. And what he was saying was like, really? You're saying this stuff? Okay. Yeah. You know, it's.
Yeah.
That's what it felt like.
He was on like a Zen. I feel like he was kind of making peace with his life and the decisions he made. And I appreciated that. By the end of the interview, I was like, oh, okay. You know, that seemed like he was being honest with us, you know.
That brings me to my next question, too. I mean, let's just say we have the money. Could you two really blow through $250 million in a year? And if so, I mean, what would it be on? I'm just curious. I'm like, I just want like a mill, like $250 million. I don't know what I'd have to spend my money on besides just multiple yachts.
That's what I would get. I want a $100 million yacht because I love to travel and I love to stay at home. And I'm like, yo, I just put me on a yacht with the full bar and my people and I'm good. Like, I buy $200 million, that's a lot of money. That's a whole lot of money. I was just told that he was training pilots. I was told he was training pilots and stuff like that. Like, it was for real. Like, he was going to start an airline.
Wow.
I remember you were like, this isn't real. And you're like, then we found it out. You're like, no, this shit is real. I mean, the thing is, there's so much. They easily could have been like a three-parter, four-parter. Yeah. There was so much to cover. So that's why Mute Ali did a really great job in boiling it down to its essence. But there was a lot of stuff that was on the cutting floor that was craziness. You're like, real? Oh, my God. Like, bonkers. There's a whole section of, because the Gotti movie got 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, but there was an entire campaign led by MoviePass to actually try to get like put fake reviews in and things like that, this whole other scandal, but it would have been like another, there's so many other like subsections of things that happened. Yeah. And it was like, we just got to kind of keep it.
Yeah, with Ted bought movie phone or through AOL or something like that. He bought, it was a lot of crazy stuff. And it's in Stacey's book, so I could say it. Mitch had tried to like take over MoviePass before all Chris Kelly brought him in as CEO. But there was no room to put it. But if you look at Stacey's, I'm not trying to like promote everything sure. explicitly, but I hear the book is great. I actually read it and it's great. But my point is that in there, he talks about how there was this sort of hostile attempt to take over MoviePass way before Mitch became CEO, which was like, that's one of the things we cut out for time and for other yeah. reasons that make me feel like, oh, if we had that in, people would really hate some of these guys, you know?
That's the gold right there, baby. You heard it here first on Zero Dark Nerdy.
The director's cut coming out next year.
Right.
Yeah, before I get to that final question, too, it is great how you wrap it up with Stacey buying back the company. I mean, it's devastating. Just, you know, your money in stocks go down that much. But
right.
to come back and do this, but most importantly, you know, thank you so much, Muta, in terms of just yeah. representing you know, a lot of us minorities out there that are trying to start a business and the struggle that it is and what a lot of people don't see behind the scenes. On top of that, and Archie, you as well. I mean, this thing has opened up so many people's eyeballs. It's not so much like, oh my gosh, yeah, I was just kind of wondering what happened to MoviePass, to holy crap, like this mm-hmm. is insane. Like what happened to these two guys? And I always yeah. tell people it's a marathon. It's not a race. Like MoviePass did not happen overnight. This is something that these two gentlemen have done for years on end, just to have it sway from under them. And then even when they got fired, still with the promise of hopefully the stock options, didn't come through. So, you know, thank you so much for
the thing that's the thing that's so discouraging is, especially read on social media, it's like, this happens all the time. You know what right. I mean? We just happen to be able to tell this story. That's the pathetic thing.
Right.
But we are proud that at least we could shine a light on this story, so that hopefully down the line, it's, you know, one entrepreneur, black entrepreneur will get it over the finish line, you know, whatever, any little yeah. thing. Because this thing, like these guys, that's what it clearly, the documentary does a great job of, but these are incredible professional guys. It's not yeah. like, oh, I just came up with this kooky idea and I don't know what right. I'm doing and I need someone yeah. to shepherd it through. They were the right guys to shepherd it through. They just didn't, you know, again, it was, right. that to me is like, we're proud of that. And obviously Mute Ali, that's why we wanted him as the director, because we knew how important that message was to get across. And he did a beautiful job in not like being pedantic about it or being so on the nose about it, but in a really graceful way that resonates with people instead of forcing it on them. It was just like, lets it wash over them.
Without a doubt.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I mean, I guess I'm gonna give my flowers too, since everybody else is. I mean, look, for anybody that's listening to the podcast, the fans out there, it's 90 minutes. It's quick, and it goes quick, and it's brilliant storytelling.
Thank you,
it's
man.
To the point. It allows the viewer to you don't point the finger, right? It allows the viewer to make their mind up, and you know, you got big things in your future, man. I'm looking forward to seeing more from you and Archie. This Thank is just one more, man. You know, unrealistic idea. You guys, unrealistic ideas, man. You guys just don't miss, man. And as fans of you guys, we appreciate both of you so very much for the work that you do, for entertaining us, for entertaining our fans, and quite frankly, for coming on this little podcast that we have, you know, Archie, you specifically, just continuing to support what we do, man. We thank you guys so very, very much for everything that you've done.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate speaking with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have been, you know, fans, and I consider you guys friends now, and, you know, love what you guys are doing. And we obviously are excited to do more projects than Mute Ali in the future. Yep. We've talked about a couple of things. We're just trying to figure out what that would be, but it was a great collaboration. And yeah, get the word out. If you haven't seen it yet, MoviePass, Movie Crash, let's tackle Dune. Let's take
it. Oh, yeah,
down.
Let's do it. Number one.
Let's do it. I definitely do not see this being the last collaboration between you two. And that's what makes me even more excited. Right. So hang out with us for just a little bit. I'm going to.
Yeah! Victory!
And anger management?
Fuck anger management.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.